In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In his very powerful sermon on Good Friday, my lifelong friend, Canon David Harrison, presented us with two extraordinary images, two images which have stayed with me and been much on my mind over the last couple of days, as they may have been also with some of you. The first is the image of Sisyphus. In ancient Greek mythology, he was the king of Ephraim. But because of his selfish and very brutal reign, he was condemned for all eternity to a life of pushing a stone laboriously uphill, only to have it continually roll back down, up and down, over and over and over again for all of eternity. Surely this is a reminder to us of life's trials and tribulations, of life's struggles that inevitably come our way. I think it should also make us take note that actions have consequences. The second image is of the two beams of the cross. One extended horizontally far beyond the horizon, far beyond anything we can see. The other vertically, from the ground reaching to the heights of heaven. And on that cross is our Lord Jesus Christ, who bears our sins in his own body on the tree, the stretcher of grace. Well, these two Good Friday images are ever so fitting for our contemplation on this Easter day. Without Good Friday, there is no Easter. And I'd like us to look at them briefly, but in reverse order. When Jesus finally breathed his last and was laid to rest in the tomb, the cross on Calvary stood bare. We prefer it that way, I expect, a cross without a corpus, a cross without the image of his body. But the fact remains, it was still a very brutal torture. On its beams, he suffered and he died. Those closest to him were utterly bereft. The cross always stands as a symbol of that brutality. The Gospels go on to tell us that Mary Magdalene and the other women went to the tomb early in the morning to finish anointing his body for burial because that had not been done fully. Remember their worry. Who will roll away the stone? Well, that was fair enough because it was a very large stone and it was heavy. How on earth would they remove it? They had to get into that tomb to perform the last dignity he deserved. But how would they manage it on their own? They arrive at the tomb, and wonder of wonders, the stone has been rolled away for them. And I think this stands as a sign to them and to all of us that we are not condemned to the life of a Sisyphus. We are embraced and loved by a God who pushes the stone away for us so that we can discover that the tomb is empty and that the Lord is risen indeed. Mary Magdalene and later the others who came to see had the most transformative, life-changing experience anyone could have in the early hours of that morning. Not only is the stone looked after and the tomb empty, but in the haze of the morning, St. John tells us that she meets a man who she supposes to be the gardener. He speaks her name in his own very unique way. Mary. In that moment, she knows him. Rabboni, Master. It is noted that she mistakes him to be the gardener. But is it really a mistake? Because is the risen Lord not the gardener of our souls and bodies, the one who promises that heavy lifting and the searching and the journeying of life does not leave us crushed, but actually leads to victory in him? This day of resurrection gives us hope like nothing else. Earthly life here is just a foretaste of the heavenly life, which we can only describe in images that we know and in rituals that we perform. When we get a taste of something that we like, we want more of it and try to find it or create it. And maybe that is how the promise of the resurrection of the life to come affects us now. We have some glimpse, imperfect though it may be, of God's kingdom. And so we are compelled to live it as best we can each and every day. The tomb is now open, no longer sealed with that heavy stone. And when we look at that tomb, we see the ways of God. We put up crosses. God opens tombs. We can hinder life. God revitalizes life. Death seems to have an ultimate power over us. God reigns over death itself, and through it brings new life, both at the end of our life and each and every day. Easter morning and the subsequent events came as a surprise to the disciples, probably because of what had gone on before. They didn't expect an empty tomb any more than we would, and they didn't expect to see their Lord and Master and friend to appear as he did at first to Mary Magdalene, then to the rest of them. They were confused by it all and totally surprised, because like the rest of us, they could not help but believe that those who wield power over others, as they had seen, have a very strong stick. Easter is the proclamation that what seems to be the end of things may be but the beginning. The resurrection is beyond measurement, beyond words, maybe even beyond logic. Easter witnesses a new beginning out of an old, too familiar ending. Easter is the resurrection not only of Christ our Savior from the dead, it is the announcement to all who want to hear that the end is not the end at all. Human power, even over life and death, a power we know all too well in a variety of ways. Well, when it's faced with the empty tomb, it is no power at all. How was the stone moved? How was the body taken away? What did they do with it? Was it their imagination, wishful thinking, a dream after an awful trauma? Well, there is so much that we cannot explain. But we know this: Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. In the tomb of Jesus, there is no body and there are no bones. The body was put there, but somehow, by God's hand, when they went in the early hours of the morning to finish off their funeral customs, the anointing, the body was gone. That wasn't just a surprise. At first, it was a devastating end to an already devastating week. And then a man appeared. Yes, of course, Mary wanted to cling to him, wouldn't we? But she couldn't have him back in the same way as before. But that didn't stop her from running to tell the others, "I have seen the Lord." From her eyewitness experience of him, to the experience of the disciples and apostles in the upper room, to St. Paul on the Damascus Road and in his preaching and teaching, to countless martyrs and faithful men and women down through the ages, right now to us gathered here today, we have somehow had an encounter with Jesus that has made us say, "I have seen the Lord." We gather for worship, albeit these days in a strange way, because we know and celebrate, or we want to know and we want to celebrate, the love and power of God, who is able to shine his light into the darkness of the world to the point of breaking the bonds of death and opening to us the way of life eternal. In the poetic words of Solomon, "For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come." Friends, the cross is bare, the stone is rolled away. Christ is risen for us and for our salvation. And we say, Alleluia. Thanks be to God.